Good afternoon. It is a sunny 53 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09 for WRCO News. I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating a domestic abuse-related incident. Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports that Tuesday morning around 9:30, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified that Nikhil Jermaine Bettis, age 44, was at a residence in rural Westby in violation of a $1,500 cash bond that was signed on October 29th following a hearing in Vernon County Circuit Court. The Sheriff's Office, as well as officers from the Viroqua and Westby Police Departments, responded to the scene in the town of Viroqua. No one believed to be involved was located at the scene. At approximately 10 o'clock, a vehicle believed to be involved was located in the village of Coon Valley by an officer from the Coon Valley Police Department. Deputies and officers spoke with the victim, who reported that Bettis exited the car near the intersection of Anderson and Babcock Streets and was last seen on foot prior to the law enforcement contact. The Sheriff's Office has established probable cause to arrest and are actively searching for Nikhil Bettis. Bettis is an African-American male standing 6'1", weighing 224 pounds with partially balding black hair and brown eyes. If you know his whereabouts, please contact the Vernon County Sheriff's Office at 608-637-2123 or your local law enforcement. An arrest warrant and formal charges of felony bail jumping, battery, and disorderly conduct, all domestic abuse related, will be sought through the Vernon County District Attorney's Office. Again, if you see Nikhil Bettis, call 608-637-2123. The Wisconsin Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin pledged to work with President-elect Donald Trump when possible in her victory speech, but also vowed to fight him to protect the national health care law and abortion rights. Baldwin narrowly won re-election to a third term over Republican businessman Eric Hovde, who was endorsed by Trump. Hovde has yet to concede in a race where the margin is so close he could seek a recount. Baldwin said she recognized that Trump won Wisconsin and she would work with him when she can. Less than 24 hours after Donald Trump was elected the 47th president of the United States, social media users began pushing two conflicting narratives of election fraud. In a narrative being pushed by Trump supporters, the vote total in 2020, which is much higher than 2016 and 2024, is used to suggest the votes must have been manufactured when Biden won. Harris supporters question how her numbers can be so much lower, but both narratives are unfounded. Votes are still being counted in the 2024 election, so the total is not known, and claims of election fraud in 2020 have been investigated repeatedly and knocked down. Misinformation spread quickly after Milwaukee election officials had to retabulate around 34,000 ballots due to a snafu with some of their voting machines. Civic Media's Brittany Merlo reports.
According to Ann Jacobs, the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, the doors of the tabulator machines were not locked and sealed on election morning, and they should have been. And there is no reason to believe that the ballots were tampered with or counted fraudulently. The retabulation was only done out of caution and transparency. Here's Chief Election Official Megan Wolf.
All of that was done by bipartisan pairs of election inspectors and in the public eye, including many, many, many bipartisan election observers from both the major political parties, other political parties, independent observers. There were many people at Central Count that were part of those proceedings.
The delay may help renew calls for a change in the law. Wisconsin is one of a handful of states that doesn't allow clerks to start counting absentee ballots before Election Day.
A Florida style of counting ballots could come to Wisconsin. State Representative Scott Krug chairs the Assembly Committee on Elections. He's pushing for electoral reforms before the next Election Day and wants to adopt Florida's vote counting model. The legislator said he plans to address issues with Central Count communities. However, state leaders already failed to push those changes forward. PFAS funding, a big step in trying to get PFAS out of our water. More than $273 million will go toward that effort. Governor Tony Evers, Senator Tammy Baldwin, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources announced that 86 municipalities will get funding through the Safe Drinking Water Loan Program. They'll be able to use this money to fund infrastructure projects like replacing lead service lines and addressing contaminants like PFAS. There are currently more than 167,000 known lead service lines throughout the state. Back in October, President Joe Biden was here in Wisconsin where he announced the EPA mandate that all lead service lines must be replaced by 2037. Rockwell Automation Incorporated today reported fiscal fourth quarter profit of $239.1 million. The Milwaukee-based company said it had net income of $2.09 per share. Earnings adjusted for non-recurring costs came to $2.47 per share. The results surpassed Wall Street expectations. The average estimate of eight analysts surveyed by Zacks Investment Research was for earnings of $2.40 per share. The industrial equipment and software maker posted revenue of $2.04 billion in the period, which fell short of Street forecast. Six analysts surveyed by Zacks expected $2.07 billion. For the year, the company reported profit of $952.5 million, or $8.28 per share. Revenue was reported as $8.26 billion. Rockwell Automation expects full-year earnings in the range of $8.60 to $9.80 per share. Multinational brewer Molson Coors will close the Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls and Milwaukee. The move will end more than 150 years of brewing in the northwestern Wisconsin city, where Leine's was born. Molson Coors will close the Chippewa Falls Brewery and Leinenkugel's 10th Street Brewery in Milwaukee, effective January 17th, according to a company statement. Molson Coors Chief Supply Chain Officer Brian Earhart said the closures are part of a plan to consolidate operations at the main Milwaukee brewery. More than 50 workers are expected to lose jobs in Chippewa Falls, although as of Wednesday, Molson Coors had yet to file a layoff notice with the State Department of Workforce Development. In the statement, Earhart said the consolidation plan comes after the company finished a large contract brewing agreement during an ongoing canning investment project at its Milwaukee brewery. The number of Wisconsinites 75 and older is expected to increase by nearly 75% over the next 20 years, according to the study by Forward Analytics. They say by 2030, the state is looking at an additional 33,000 new beds that will be needed just to keep our current ratio of essentially 194 beds for every 1,000 people over the age of 75. Attorney General Josh Call, alongside a bipartisan coalition of 30 state attorney generals, announced Monday a $1.37 billion settlement agreement with Kroger. The settlement addresses the grocery chain's role in the U.S. opioid crisis. Wisconsin is set to receive up to $21.8 million in payments for opioid abatement. This puts Wisconsin at $780 million in total for national prescription opioid settlements. Kroger has also agreed to injunctive relief. This requires its pharmacies to monitor and report suspicious activity related to opioid prescriptions. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is investing nearly $9 million to help expand high-speed internet in Wisconsin. Rural Development Wisconsin State Director Julie Lassa says the money comes from the Community Connect program. CTC Telecom and Shibarden Telephone Cooperative will be adding fiber to resident homes and businesses in Barron, Burnett, and Washburn counties. A Sparta man faces homicide charges in connection with the drunk driving crash that killed a construction worker last week. 25-year-old Isaac Morales Jr. is accused of crashing into a piece of construction equipment after losing control of his car near Oakdale November 1st. That crash killed the 35-year-old operator. Morales now faces charges of reckless homicide, first-time OWI, and various reckless driving felonies. He's being held in Monroe County on a $250,000 cash bond and will be back in court in December. 40-year-old Jesse Vang has been ordered to stand trial on new charges related to the disappearance and death of 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Vang had a preliminary hearing in Manitowoc County Wednesday on 4 counts, including physical abuse of a child, causing death, and hiding a corpse. Vang's arraignment is set for November 18th. Vu's mother, Katrina Bauer, is also charged with the case, the child neglect leading to death. She pleaded not guilty in October. The Better Business Bureau says scammers have been threatening to expose people's supposed shady internet habits. It's called a sextortion scam, and spokesperson Lisa Schiller says crooks want to spook people into sending money immediately. The criminal will claim to have access to your internet history or have footage of you watching something you shouldn't be. Schiller says these scams can be effective because no one wants to talk about this, much less if they've fallen for it. If you get one of these calls or emails, simply ignore it. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
During the presidential elections campaigning leading up to the November 2020 elections, an interesting article about Richland County, Wisconsin, and their voter tendencies from not just those 4 years, but historically over the past 4 decades. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to a January 2001 edition of the Achy Breaky newsletter, Volume 13, Number 1, Page 2, it was taken from jsonline.com/news/politics/election. The October 12th, 2020 lengthy article included a picture of a rural scene with a caption identifying notably the significant historical consistency of Richland County in voting for the president over the past 40 years since 1980. The late setting winter sun cast on an amber glow on a church in Richland County, one of only 19 counties in the United States to vote for the winning president every election since 1980. It was in a story by Craig Gilbert of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel titled, "Trump and Biden Need to Win Wisconsin." The swing state could be the 2020 election tipping point. The article reads, "Realize this was 4 years ago and identified an election from 8 years ago between the candidates Clinton and Trump in 2016 with the following excerpt. In 2016, Wisconsin was the tipping point state, the one that mathematically put Trump over the top in the Electoral College. The current presidential ad wars are testament to how vital this state is for both sides. Between April and the end of September, the 13 TV markets that saw the most presidential ads included 3 in Wisconsin, located in Green Bay, La Crosse, and Milwaukee. Wisconsin state lawmaker Dale Schultz from Richland County was quoted in this article. A lot of regional political analysis was included, and one line specifically holds true. Quote, "This is one of the great ground zero hotspots in presidential politics," end quote. Considering going on to check the entire article on that website, jsonline.com, or better yet, to receive an insert article of the October issue of the Achy Breaky newsletter, contact us at our website, richlandcountyhistoricalsociety.weebly.com. Listen next week for the history of Richland County, covering the 6th Wisconsin Battery.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
Today is Wisconsin Saves Day. The Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions today announced Governor Tony Evers proclaimed today as Wisconsin Saves Day in Wisconsin. The proclamation is part of a statewide effort promoting automatic saving through the workplace with the Wisconsin Saves Program to improve financial well-being. The Wisconsin Saves Program is an employee-focused savings initiative which started as a pilot program in 2020. The program provides Wisconsin employers with resources to encourage their employees to save for emergencies and the future with their paychecks by using the automated saving strategy of split deposit. Participating employers receive free resources and a digital toolkit to educate their employees on the importance of building emergency savings, as well as the ease and benefits of saving automatically through split deposit. The research-based program uses the principles of behavioral economics and social marketing to change behavior. More than 100 employers in Wisconsin, representing approximately 15,000 employees, are already signed up for the Wisconsin Saves program and are actively using the program's resources to educate their employees about split deposit and encourage the use of the automated saving strategy today. Employers can sign up for the Wisconsin Saves program on the Wisconsin Saves website or on the DFI's Wisconsin Saves webpage to receive a suite of resources to help them promote split deposit as a way they support their employees in reaching their personal savings goals. All Wisconsin employers are eligible. For more information on the Wisconsin Saves program, contact the DFI Office of Financial Literacy Director. With the holidays just around the corner, the Ithaca Lions Club, Ombre's Motorcycle Club, and Julie Karen State Farm are teaming up again this year to collect toys for the annual Smiles for a Child Drive. Co-organizer by the Ithaca Lions Club and Hombre's Motorcycle Club, Smiles for a Child distributes gifts and toys every December to children and families in need during the holiday season. Applications for Smiles for a Child will be available the day after the Rock and Reindeer Party at Julie Karen State Farm Insurance. Deb O'Connell is with the Ithaca Lions Club.
The applications will be at the Social Services Building and starting November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and they inform me that they are open on that day. And we'll be picking them up until November 27th, which is the day before Thanksgiving. I really kind of wanted to do that because there's so many sales at Thanksgiving time that if I need to, I can look at that as well. So that's the deadline. Our actual pickup date is at the Community Center on December 14th. So that also gives us, Thanksgiving is a day that people, or a weekend people don't want to shop, so it gives us one more weekend to shop before the pickup date.
Smiles for a Child has been distributing toys in the Richland Center area for over three decades, and each year is able to assist families by providing gifts to hundreds of children. Marilyn Gilligan is with the Ombre's Motorcycle Club.
In the last several years, it's ranged right around $300 to $350. And like I've always said, there was that one time in 2008, 2009, little recession time, that we had the biggest one was 465 kids. That was a lot of shopping. But we had the money. We had the event, and people gave. And we shopped and took care of every one of them, every one of those children.
The Rock and Reindeer Parking Lot Party provides an opportunity to donate toys to Smiles for a Child and will include special appearances by Mrs. Claus, Santa, and the reindeer. Julie Cairns is with State Farm.
Already this year, we have a wagon in the office full of toys. I'm very humbled by that because I always feel like, is it coming off right? Right? Like this event, these ideas, and to see people come in and just quietly drop a new toy off in the wagon is very special. And yes, as Marilyn was saying, there have been a couple that have dropped them off that said, Marilyn and her group helped me 25 years ago, and I'm helping now.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, I hope that it's very obvious to come. I mean, just get some cocoa, get some kettle corn, meet Santa. Hopefully you've been on the good list and you can share your list with him. And yes, Rockin' Reindeer Parking Lot Party, November 10th, 12 to 2.
Julie Cairns State Farm Insurance is accepting new unwrapped toys now and at their Rockin' Reindeer Party on Sunday from noon until 2 in downtown Richland Center. Toys collected go to the annual Smiles for a Child Toy Drive. Applications for Smiles for a Child will be available at the Richland County Health and Human Services Building on Monday and must be turned in no later than Wednesday, November 27th. Toys will be available for pickup on Saturday, December 14th at the Richland Center Community Center. Monetary donations for Smiles for a Child are welcome anytime and can be dropped off at WCCU. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters Calendar Raffle is Deb Fargin.